Hello, I'm Toby Fox from 1.5 Million New Homes, the Local Government Challenge, sponsored by Redloft and by Waits. So the mission is to get 1.5 million new homes built, and the key delivery arm for that mission is local government, either as the planning authority or as a joint venture partner or directly delivering new homes. So I've been visiting a different council every month to understand what works and what needs to change to help councils get more homes built. This month, we've been embarking in Dagenham, visiting the council there in East London and its wholly owned development company, BeFirst. Since recording these episodes, a lot has happened at BeFirst. So I spent some time with the leader of the council, Councillor Dominic Toomey, and with the newly appointed interim managing director at BeFirst, Caroline Harper, as well as with Paul Nichols, the Managing Director for London at one of BeFirst's development partners, Waits, to understand their takes on the changes at BeFirst.
BeFirst was created in a point in time with a certain set of circumstances. That time has changed, and I think you have to, you know, review, you have to take a step back, you have to have a look. In a way, the fact that we've had to pause our own, you know, direct delivery through BeFirst because of financial constraints, as you said. I mean, you know, ironically, you put this investment in and it sort of raises a bit of a red flag, if you like, in the local government world, you know, because they're like, you've borrowed a huge amount of money. Now, we're happy, and I'm particularly happy to say, yes, but look what we've done. Yeah. We've delivered thousands of homes for people that otherwise that would not have happened to. Yeah. Now you can do all of the sort of monetary stuff, which is quite easy. You can look at new homes bonus, increased council tax, business rates, even for some of the sort of commercial stuff we've done. But it's some of those soft outcomes that are more difficult to quantify. So you can say, for example, if we hadn't have built those 3,600, you know, homes over the last 6-7 years, then actually, lots of people would still be on waiting lists, would still potentially be in temporary accommodation. And that's not just a cost, which we now see across London and, in fact, and across the country. Now, we've been quite fortunate. It hasn't overly impacted on us because when you do lots of regeneration, I know, as you know, Toby, you'll have blocks, for example, of flats that will be empty for a period of time. You can utilise them. It's not that actually they're not habitable. You can utilise those for temporary accommodation. So
you've moved people out because you're going to rebuild houses for them.
Yes.
But while they're moved out and you haven't yet knocked those buildings down, they're usable flats on a temporary basis.
That's absolutely right. And then what happens is then you build the new sort of properties. And we've always been advocates of, if people wanted to move back into the area that they'd moved out of, then they can. And actually, lots of people, it comes all the way back to where people said, even in what perhaps you and I might have thought were not great circumstances, people go, it's my home. I've lived here for 20 years. I like it. Now, who am I to say, well, it's not a very nice place. And so we've always given people the opportunity to come back to areas where actually they lived. And people take that up, which is great. So you know, soft outcome there. You then look at, when I talked about, you know, potentially it stops people, you know, it improves their lives. So it stops them potentially coming to the council with other issues before they hit crisis levels. So they might not need social care support. So it has a whole raft of positive change. So it's been key. There's no doubt about it. But we're now in a different world. We as a council could not borrow any more money, even if we wanted to.
Yeah.
Because, as I say, I think those red flags that are looked at, you do what you believe is correct and was correct. Actually, at that point in time, it was about housing back then. I know now the new government are all about housing, but actually housing delivery was crucial. I just think the former government didn't know how to get that done, in fact. So that's why we were delivering at pace, because there was an encouragement to do that. And we knew it was the right thing for the borough anyway, even if there wasn't government encouragement. And BeFirst, with their expertise, were key to that. Now, the question is, where we cannot go forward on our own, direct delivery, has to be a different model.
Because you can't raise any more money.
Correct, yes. So that different model I mean, it doesn't have to be sort of private to sort of public partnership, mm-hmm. although we're very keen for that. And we've mm-hmm. always encouraged that over the years. It could, you know, public to public. It could be government mm-hmm. sort of, you know, coming in. We've got a great relationship with the Mayor of London mm-hmm. and the GLA on subsidy for yep. the building of homes. So the question is, fundamentally, are BeFirst able to pivot? Are they able to change? Because their skill sets now need to change to accommodate the new sort of world, if you like. So mm-hmm. they now need to be expert in having those meetings in terms of pulling in investment. So have they got the right skill set? Are they the right people to talk to external investors? Because that's a very different thing to actually delivering mm-hmm. directly for us. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think they can. I think part of this new world of collaboration, and it shouldn't really be a new world. We should always have been doing this. And we have, you know, we've always been open to joint ventures.
You've got a huge scheme with Countryside.
Exactly, yeah. exactly. So it shouldn't be new, but actually it was part of a portfolio of options, if you like, of how to invest. Direct delivery, joint venture, you know, potentially with the right investor, selling land so that they could actually sort of build out. So we've always done that, but now as it's the largest part of any future sort of delivery. Mm. Where it was maybe at that point in time, you know, a key part of it, but maybe we're only looking at 25% for argument's sake of those conversations. Now anything we do moving forward has to be done in partnership, joint venture, or collaboration. Yeah. That's just where we are now. The question is, can BeFirst attract that investment? Can they get the right people to the table? Can they do that? And I'm genuinely, that's just a rhetoric. Can they? And that's something that we're working through with BeFirst at the moment to make sure that they're fit for purpose to enable that to happen.
Yeah. On the next part of my journey, I'm going to talk